Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert!
Freaking awesome.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to Scare Track, the podcast showcasing the scare attraction and haunted house industry here in the UK. Today's episode is a movie review episode and we are discussing Hell House LLC, the 2015 found footage haunt horror film. Now, for these movie reviews, we need a little bit of help from someone who really is in the know. That's why we invite Dan Brownlee, film director, here onto the Scare Track podcast to talk all about these films. Now, we don't cover all horror films here on Scare Track. We like to cover the subgenre of haunt slash escape room style films because we just feel that's our forte here on the Scare Track podcast. We also do a instant mini review over on our YouTube channel, so we've got that for this latest film as well, Hell House LLC. That is available to watch now over on YouTube, youtube.com/ScareTrack. So, I think it's time to get Dan onto the Scare Track podcast. Dan's most recent film is UK Haunters, that's coming out this September, September 2020. UK Haunters, the first feature-length documentary showcasing the scare attraction and haunt scene here in the UK. So, I can't wait for you guys to see that. I've seen it. It's bloody amazing. And it's coming to DVD this September. So let's get this episode underway. Let's get Dan onto the Scare Track podcast and let's discuss Hell House LLC.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined once again by Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
Amazing. How's it going? I'm feeling on the Halloween rainbow for some reason today.
That's good. It's good. It's good to dream big about Halloween. Obviously, it's still, we're not sure what kind of Halloween we're going to have, but me and Dan both decided before we pressed record that we're still going to have a freaking awesome one no matter what.
I'm going to build a home haunt. I've got some haunted house Lego and some hidden side Lego I'm going to build. I'm going to get the snacks. Man, whatever happens, Halloween's going to be epic. That is my vow to myself.
Definitely. And you've got a new awesome projector as well, which looks sick.
Oh my God, yes. It's so good. It's Atmosphere FX is what they're called. And the things I really like about them, because they do these DVDs where, or you can download them, we get them on disc, whatever, we're used with a projector and they have different effects for doorways, windows, walls, where things will either come through a wall or look like it's in your living room messing around in the windows. And what I like about them is when they're upselling their stuff, they'll say, use Atmosphere projection material or something similar. And I thought, I quite like that.
Yeah, fair play. Or something similar. That's quite nice.
Yeah. It's not saying you have to use ours. I mean, you can use ours. But, you know, if you've got something else, that's cool as well. Yeah. And I thought that was quite nice.
Yeah, fair play. You made themselves a customer from just being a little bit more transparent with the customer.
Yeah.
I like it. Fair play. But yeah, guys, go and check that out. Dan put a little video on the UK Haunters social, so check that out. I really want to buy one now, to be fair.
You have to.
No home is now complete without one of those projectors. But the reason we got Dan on again is purely because we are doing another movie review episode. And this time we're talking all about Hell House LLC, the 2015 found footage horror film. Dan introduced me to this one. I hadn't heard about it before. Obviously, Dan's seen it before me. Dan, it was freaking awesome.
It is an amazing film.
Bloody loved it. How did you sort of stumble across this one?
Well, literally, I stumbled across it. I mean, it is no secret I am a sucker for found footage horror films. I think they can be quite dull if done wrong. But the thing about them, when done right, they are absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was just flicking for Amazon Prime. And I was like, hey, we'll see. This is interesting. Oh, haunted house, you say. Give it a whirl. And yeah, mind blown.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, I watched it because, one, we're doing this new series, and you gave me a nice big list of all the films I should be seeing. Checking this one out. And what I like about this one is because, for me, with watching these haunt-slash-scare-maze-genre horror films, it's the first one that hasn't been like a slasher or a real person. It's actually, and spoilers ahead, by the way, spoilers, it's actually some sort of demon, some ghost, some demonic figure down there that's actually creating all the havoc. So it's a very different idea to the usual kind of slasher Halloween films that we've been watching.
Yeah. And also, to my opinion, people might say it was obvious. To me, it never spelled it out for you.
No.
Which was quite nice. I mean, the further ones do, which, you know, you could argue to detriment. Mm. But for this one, it doesn't sort of go, this is what happened. There's no 20-somethings running around going, oh my God, we have to find the secrets and find the body and bury the ghost. Blah, blah, blah. It's none of that. They're just rocking on our own business. And it's just going crazy around them.
Yeah, yeah. They try to hold on to the norm, just go, let's just get it built. Let's get it built. Let's get it open. Mm. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I like the idea, the whole premise of the film anyway. Like, the way it starts is kind of basically the way it ends. You see the ending through a YouTuber's eyes, basically there at an opening night, the press night of this haunt, and then we find out that it's blooming. Killed 15 people. Not the best opening night, I'm not gonna lie, but it was, again, because it was quite cool the way they mixed the fan footage of the YouTuber with the interviews, sort of talking to people about the house and the Hell House.
It's just sort of
rather than it be the sort of slower build-up of meeting all the individual characters and what their backstory is and who they're going out with or anything like that, it was more just, boom, some shit's gone down at a haunt. So it instantly got me hooked in that way.
But that's what I was like about it as well, is it's done as if someone found the footage and made a documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not really, it's not like a found footage film where some found footage films are just the footage from the person who's experienced it. Some Frankenstein of CCTV, this, that, and the other. Some people use it as a style thing. Yeah. This was like someone grabbed like this. I think the film's, I don't know when it came out, but to my knowledge, it's set a few years before it came out. So it's like this had happened. This was a thing.
Right.
Someone went, my God, that thing was messed up. I need to make a documentary out of it, which added a real nice layer of realism to it.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And that was sort of added to as well at the end when I think the main character girl, Sarah, she turned out not to be as well as she made out, if that makes sense. She seems to be slightly possessed herself at the end. Again, I think
we can be a bit more obvious with our spoilers here. Yeah. The spoiler warning's there.
She's basically, she's screwed. She's totally under the influence of something or someone, isn't she?
Oh yeah, I suppose that's it. I suppose at the end, maybe it does break that documentary thing, doesn't it?
But,
or does it?
No, I think it works.
Does it? Oh my God, that's even amazing. I like it even more now. No, it didn't. That's really quite clever.
Yeah, I think it's, as well, I like the fact that it was the way that bit was shot as well, because at the beginning, she just gives the tapes and that's how, like you say, it's like we're watching someone's made a documentary out of these tapes. And then the interview team at the end of it, when Sarah's like, I've got to go, I've got a room, they find out she doesn't have a room. She's actually back at the Hell House, the hotel. But they continue to talk about what their plan is, what they think they should do. Should we go to the house? Should we not? But the camera's still rolling, but there's just a nice shot of the desk, so you can kind of see their reflections, which to me, it just, a lot of films, I imagine you just see a blank screen or a plant pot or something boring and dull that doesn't actually add anything to it.
Yeah.
Whereas this, although you were having to hear it, you were able to visualise them discussing it as well, which I just thought was quite a nice arty shot, really.
Well, that's the thing. It's well done found footage. Found footage doesn't have to be constantly shaky. You can do something that's arty as long as it makes sense within reality. They leave the camera there. Mm. That makes sense. it just happens where that camera's pointing is quite a nice shot.
Yeah.
But it's still within the found footage reality if they just left the camera there.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome. I loved it. And I like the fact that it did start with a bang as well, with a pop, with the, like, there's fire brigade, police, ambulances, and you don't really know what's actually happened down there. But because of the panic that they show, it's not just people going down to the basement or the cellar to... They're not screaming in fear for a horror maze or a haunted house. You can tell they're screaming in fear for their lives. It's mass panic. It's scary. It's like... And then you spend basically the whole film just thinking, what the fuck has happened down in that basement?
And the thing is, wasn't it so convincing?
Yeah, it looked the real.
I don't think there's a bad actor in this film. At all.
No, I agree. And it feels very, very real.
They're super good because even the people on camera, like the guy being interviewed, was awkward as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what people like when you stick a camera in me. He wasn't awkward like, I can't remember my lines. He was awkward like, you're sticking a camera in my face. It's not natural for me.
Yes.
So you just bought into it because they all looked like people just
real
being
people.
Interviewed. And just, yeah, just getting on with the day. And that panic... That, I mean, those extras were amazing because they looked like the way they crowded and pushed past each other, it was giving me anxiety looking at it. They really did a really solid job of selling it.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. It, exactly the same. I felt the same as you. I felt slightly anxious watching it, thinking, like, again, because we say this quite regularly, that we're fans of haunts and scare attractions, so we sometimes just imagine ourselves being in these positions. Like, if we saw someone killing someone else in Hellfest, we'd be happy because they're doing us a favor. Whereas with this one, it gave me slight anxiety, thinking, oh my god, like, I go into these scare attractions, these haunted houses, I see people scream, but I laugh at them. But if I saw them scream like this, I think I'd be screaming just as loud. I'd be panic.
Yeah, and running the other way.
Yeah,
as well.
And that's the scary part of the, like, oh my god, like, imagine, your mind sort of plays with you anyway, but imagine if that actually happened. Like, if you were going through a haunt and that actually happened, I'd be petrified. I'd absolutely shit myself.
And also, the other thing I liked about that end scene is that they actually had some CGI in there. I didn't notice it till the camera crew points out later, and they said, oh, the woman who's chained to the wall, which, oh yeah, the guy who played the clown, what a dick, just pegged it. He had the keys to her handcuffs, so he just ran away, and I was like, oh, come on.
Well, I was thinking that, like, why? Also, why would you actually chain her up there?
I know, didn't you think of the amount of ways you could have faked that so she could have got off, just say some guy tried to grab her, she could unhook herself. I was like, you wouldn't do that in a haunt. You wouldn't actually chain someone. You'd have a little hook, she would hold herself up, if anything went wrong, she lifted it off and could do a runner.
Exactly. So that's the only bit. I loved, like, 99.9% of this film, and I thought it was authentic, it was real, I liked it. But yeah, like, these guys have been in the game a long time. They seem to go from town to town to make a haunt. That is... And the fact that they know they need a big guy down there to you know, quote-unquote protect her, why the hell have they decided to tie her up and her not be able to get out without a key? But anyway, yeah, you're right. The guy runs out. What an arse.
But it's when she gets dragged into the floor... Mm. It's quite a decent CGI shot. The fact is, they don't sort of go, oh, look, here's our CGI shot. It's really subtle. It's only till the interviewer goes, oh, yeah, and that person got dragged in the floor, and they replay it, and you go, oh, God, yes, she did.
Yeah, I missed that altogether, which,
again,
yeah.
Was so subtly played. So, like, this is our, I think, only real CGI shot from the film. And it must have, you know, considering from what I've been doing some research on it, the budget, they had very, very limited budget, it must have cost them a fair enough. You think a lesser filmmaker would have made it really obvious.
Yeah.
This guy was like, let's put it in the corner. Put it down low and let it get dragged in, and we'll mention it later. And people go, oh, shit. Again, it kept it real.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It made it that it wasn't all bells and whistles. Look at this, look at this, look at this. It was just, it's there. If you saw it, you saw it. You know what? I don't even remember seeing that, even on when we were shown again afterwards. I need to rewatch that. But that just goes to show how my mind can wander watching the film. I was watching it and it was thunder and lightning and scary as fuck outside anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, I was watching, and this is a film that's also, it is proper on your edge kind of film, especially the latter half. It does make you... there's some simple but subtle moments, just like the clown's head moving to the side. Like, yeah. It is clever, simple sort of stuff, but it's just so effective and eerie. And I'll be honest, it shook me up a few times, this film.
Do you know, there's a lot of really good, genuine, creepy things. Like, there's a guy, I think he's the first guy who dies, one with a moustache and a curly hair. And he wakes up in the night and films himself doing a bit of a diary. And there's just this blacked out shape in the background that does nothing but stand there. And you're just like, oh my God, that's so creepy. And the thing with a clown who keeps a messing with him. It's just, I don't know, it's just creepy as hell. Because the thing is, because I shot the film in the tombs. And I've had weird things like that happen when I was shooting down there. Like, you know, just there's animatronics and stuff everywhere. And that sort of something just being in the back of the room freaking you out. Now, if I turn around, that gone, I thought, oh my God, how would I react?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, I would not be... with the stuff that starts going down with the piano playing by itself and seeing... Yes. And a few of them see these... They try not to believe it, but they do see these ghosts, these figures, these monsters. And they're just like, just get some sleep and we'll carry on working on the haunt in the morning. I'm like, what? No! I'm out of it. Like, they were having real scary shit happen to them, and they're just sort of like, we kind of got to build this. Let's just build it and get it open.
You know, it's weird. It's, again, because I've made films. There's a certain level of exhaustion where you let a lot of shit fly. There's a certain films where you sort of, you'll be working on something. You've like, I've got to do this. Got to do this. Fuck that. Done that. Don't care about it. You just got to get this done. You kind of forget
real life,
the creepy, weird stuff, because you're so focused on getting this. And if it's for them, it's a haunt.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure if you chatted to Steph from RSpace and said, "What was it like building Death Cell?" She'd be like, "Reality just went away." And what if freaky stuff happened? I'm sure she'd have gone, it would have mattered.
Yeah,
because you're that level of intent exhaustion on getting something done, you kind of sod off reality a little
bit. You know what? It's now you say that, that's totally true. I've got a ghost at my work. Full on, definitely have a ghost. And multiple things have happened to me and other members of staff. And you kind of just go, well, we're open. Like, I can't tell these customers to go now.
And also, never underestimate the human mind's ability to rationalize shit.
Yeah.
My mate did it and he's winding me up. I mean, the stuff that's gone missing in this house is absolutely ridiculous. Me and Jess have this thing. If something goes missing, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
But there is a section of my brain that goes, Jess is just fucking with you.
Yeah.
No, she's moved this up, and it's a long game. It's a long wind-up, essentially. Yeah. Or she'll put it back one day and blame it on the ghost. But yeah, but your brain will rationalise stuff. So even though we're seeing that clown, and when he goes back, it's a clown. He's smacking it, and he's like, it's a prop. It's a prop. Yeah. So your brain will go, either it couldn't have been, or someone's playing a long prank and not willing to admit it. The brain will rationalise. And that's the thing. I was looking at it going, at what point would I just fucking quit? Yeah. But knowing how into it they were to get it done, and with the head guy being like almost cult mentality, wow, we have to get this done.
Yeah.
You forgive a hell of a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point, to be fair. You would just sort of go, it needs to get built. Especially when, I mean, I'm probably looking at it in a different point of view now, because I know it's a horror film, which means I know something bad is. It's a bit like when we've discussed Haunt. Like, I've never been scared about going into a tunnel before where I can hear a chainsaw, because I know it's safe because I'm at a haunt. It's a scare maze.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a movie, you instantly know the intentions that they're going to die. So because I know it's a film, I know something bad might happen. Stop it. But in real life, I'm just going to try and go debunk it. Like you say, just try and rationalize everything. And I suppose that's just what they do throughout this film.
I mean, he's a lesser example, a much less example, but still kind of psychologically similar. When I was at uni, I lived with a mate, and he was making breakfast one day, and I was doing toast, he was doing something else, and I was standing next to him, and he opened a drawer and put a knife down, and I picked the knife up and I put it in my pocket, and he turned around, opened up the drawer, put a knife down, turned around, put a knife in my pocket. He turned around, and he did this four times. Right. He'd literally took a knife and put it down and turned around and there was no knife there, and his brain rationalised it. His brain went, maybe I didn't.
Yeah.
Four times. He wasn't drunk. It was in the morning, but he wasn't smashed. He wasn't on anything. He was quite, he wasn't clean. It was more of a drink than anything else. But he wasn't pissed. He was just, and then the next time he did that, I put all four down. It made him jump. But the point is, it falls out. You, the brain rationalised. I didn't. They're not there. I didn't.
Yeah. You know, you. It must have been a spoon. It must have been a fork. It must have. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe I didn't. I thought I did, but I didn't. And you. Yeah. So that's. I mean, it's slightly different with a creep clown. But the thing is, they do react to it. They are actively stressed and aggravated. Yes. But you know, it's not for you. For you, as in Mikey, to be convinced. To get the fuck out of your work, how much would it take? Like realistically,
like quite a bit. Like getting hurt or something proper visual in my face, like clear as day kind of thing. Yeah, it would take quite a lot, wouldn't it?
And that's the thing. What these ghosts are doing is it's really subtle.
Yeah.
A little head turn, a little piano play. It's very, very subtle. It's not enough. If they went up and jumped in their face, they'd be out of there.
Yeah, done.
But it's just enough to keep the fragile human brain going, no, there's no such thing as ghosts. This is cool. It's just, and that's what's so clever about it. It's just enough to keep them there.
Yeah.
With the maniac boss going, wow, you have to do this, being very aggressive about it. It's just enough to keep them there.
Definitely. And it works. It worked as a film. It also showed that they were sort of partly frustrated or getting frustrated with the boss, but know that it kind of has to be done. They've been with the team a long time, especially Sarah, who's been there since day one. But what we sort of learn throughout the film is that there's a backstory of the hotel. Like the person that used to own it was in part of a cult. And it seems that it goes a little bit deeper into what we first realise in the fact that people do know what happened down there, but it's all some sort of cover-up. Like they're trying to not let people know.
Yeah.
I was probably indifferent to this bit, really, because it didn't make me enjoy the film more or less. Because I just forget. Like, I'd be like, I don't really care if people know and trying to keep it a secret. But did that have any effect on you when watching the film?
Not really. No, I mean, it's kind of having a bit of a backstory. It
just adds a bit more depth.
Yeah, it's nice to have a little bit. Because you know, this happened X number of years ago. And I didn't see it so much as a cover-up. I saw it as just small town mentalities don't like people knowing their business. So it wasn't a cover-up per se. It's more of an ignore. Like, you know.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
We don't want tourists coming down and being a tourist spot. We don't want it to be known for this. We just want it to be left alone. Yeah, but no, the detail was nice. But what it didn't do was go, it's all about cults now.
No.
Most films really, really, I'd start to dislike most ghost films. It's like, oh my God, we know how to fix it now. We need to find their body or find this or find that. But I like the fact it didn't do that. It's like, right, okay, there's a cult thing. Now, whether that cult thing could have been the thing that went on before.
Yeah.
That could have been a burial ground or something, but that's why these guys, but you don't know. It gives you a little bit, but nothing to sort of a little bit. It's almost to say to the person, oh yeah, give you more logic behind it, so you go, all right, so this is what's going on, but not enough to really ram it down your throat to give the characters still don't have much of a clue, so I don't think they ever really find out, do they?
I don't think they do. No, I think we only know through like an interview. So they don't know themselves, so they're totally out, you know, in the blue still. So I prefer that. I like that, because like you say, it then doesn't turn it into a cult film, or one of them, it could have gone a total different way. One of them could have started researching cults and researching this, and it could have gone a little bit preachy onto one side and whatnot. But no, I'm the similar to you. I'm glad it didn't go down that route. And even still now, we kind of saw what happened, but we don't know exactly the scenario. We don't know really what quite happened down there. We just know that it's a demonic place and bad shit goes down.
And that is where the genius of the found footage came into it. That found footage, that scene of her getting dragged into hell says everything you need to know in about 2 seconds, if that.
Yeah.
And then it's just people screaming, panicking. And that's all you need. That's all you need. But it sold you everything. Something has gone down that bad in a haunt in America, yeah, where they're used to high budget, high concept stuff. It has been that bad that people who've been queuing there all day,
yeah,
panics. How bad must that have been? How freaky must that shit have been to make big those time people, to make the guy who works in the haunt go, fuck this shit, and run?
Yeah.
And that,
yeah,
says so much without showing hardly anything. I mean, it's really, I'm fucking fair play to the director, man.
Yeah, they did a great job, especially as well with, towards the end, you had multiple different views as well. So we had CCTV, we had the guy vlogging it. I think someone had either a chest or a head cam as well.
Yeah.
So you could see things from different points of view, but still you couldn't see any more than was necessary for us to get the most out of the film.
Yeah.
I think that worked best.
Yeah, and if they did show more, I don't think it'd have worked as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the kind of secrecy or the kind of just not spelling it out.
Yeah,
if this was a slightly different, like, blockbuster movie or about ghost, you'd end up having an end scene where it's all special effects and arty farty, and there's a ghost pulling someone from hell, and it all looks a bit palaver and fake. Whereas the fact that it was just in the corner of the screen or corner of your eye, she gets slipped into the ground, it's just so much more subtle that makes it just more realistic.
Yeah. And also, like, it's, you know, by the end of it, you know it's about a cult, but they don't explain why.
Yeah, exactly. You're still none the wiser. Yeah.
Why?
With Sarah as well.
Why the cult queen? But why, you know, do they feed on fear? Are they? Because you kind of think there's kind of, again, a fan logic to it, that because they attacked when the haunt was open, them creeping people out was to build up fear, because that's what they could feed on before they could come through. So by the time the haunt's open, everyone's getting scared. That was enough for them to come through. That's why they did it then. It kind of gives you a lot to imagine, and but not in a, like, a stupid way, but it's too open. It's open enough you can watch it and go, cool. But it's a nice afterwards. You go, huh, I wonder why.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't feel bad they didn't tell you why, but it's enough to make you go, I wonder, you know, that would make sense. Maybe there's like a feeding on fear thing going on. Or because at the end, the cult members kind of turn up and grab the other one. You're like, but why were they grabbing people?
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. You don't know. Well, you know, are they collecting souls? Are they just come back from dead and killing people because they're sick?
Yeah. Are they hungry?
Yeah.
Is that what they want?
Yeah, like, are they trying to do a hellraiser and come back into our reality? I mean, you just don't know. And I think that's, you don't know what their intentions are.
No.
That's what's quite nice about it.
Yeah, it feels like there's, like, you don't know their intentions, you don't know how to stop them, you don't know any sort of conclusion, you don't know any magical spell to make them go away.
Yeah.
It's all just, shit, that happened, and we're going to find out how it happened, or, well, not how, but what happened.
Yeah.
And let's move on from there. And then it sort of, it stops, I'm not going to say abruptly as such, it's just we revisit the key scene, and then we see that Sarah's sort of demonic as well and possessed by someone. And then it kind of just finishes. There is a second and third film, which you've seen already, haven't you, Dan?
Yep.
And I guess we can talk those in more detail in future episodes. But would you say that... Are you glad they had a second and third film? Or are you wishing that they maybe kept it just this one?
I would have to rewatch them. I can't remember them that well. I can remember thinking they weren't needed.
Yeah.
But then dessert isn't always needed. But
it's nice.
But it's nice. they weren't as strong, because what they had to do was then start explaining. Not what they had to do. If they wanted to carry on the same story of that house, they can go, oh, we're doing it again. Like, really?
Yeah.
You know, but you sure? So their choice was to, rather than do something, they could have done it almost like an anthology thing where they went, oh, is another thing called Hell House or another haunt that has something else different. But they chose to stick with the same mythos. So they explored it more. I don't think it's needed. I think slightly to its detriment, but I don't remember not enjoying them. But I'd have to really rewatch them again. It definitely didn't bug up the first film, like the other film we discussed.
Yeah, okay. So watching these two won't affect this first one for me.
No. No, it just, it's still the same thing. It's still that this happened. It just goes into the story more. It's still found footage. Yeah, just it's just more background, which not necessarily needed, but you know, man, it was cool.
Sweet. Okay, I think that needs to be next on our list. It makes sense, doesn't it, to do 1, 2, and 3, get the whole trilogy. I'm guessing it's just the three. There's not been a fourth made.
I believe it's just three. I think 2 and 3 came relatively quickly because I stumbled across one, and I remember seeing 2 and going, "Oh my god, 2!" And then not soon after that, going, "Is it the third?" So I'm not sure if it was a back to back thing or just quite quickly, or maybe I just took so long for 2 to pop up on my radar because we don't get stuff as regularly in the UK.
Of course, yeah, that's a good point. Well, Hell House LLC came out in 2015. Hell House number 2 is the Abaddon Hotel, which was 2018. And then Hell House Lake of Fire was, yeah, just the year after, 2019. That was just last year. Awesome. Have you got any random nuggets of knowledge about this film that you may know that others might not know, Dan?
No, I tried to do a bit of research. Now, I found very little about this film.
Yeah.
I mean, it took about 12 days to shoot.
Oh, sweet.
With an extra day in New York for pickups, right, which I presume were maybe the police scenes or the documentary footage, because most of it was in the hotel.
Yeah.
Apart from that, not really much on this one, I'm afraid.
No worries. 12 days, that's not a bad rap, is it? Get a film made in 12 days. Well, filmed, at least.
Found footage.
Yeah.
So essentially what you do with found footage, I mean, I would love to do a found footage film, which you can, when people watch UK Haunters will understand by the way it's shot is very found footage inspired. But as far as I can gather with found footage films, it's a lot about the prep.
Yeah.
And then because you can do take, but you've got to get everything in one angle.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you think about making a film, and plus it looks more realistic, so the lighting by and large is less stylized.
Yeah.
Not really possibly true a lot of the time, but it's meant to look more natural, which I suppose argumented you could say it actually takes longer. But essentially you have one angle.
Yes.
Where generally speaking, you have close, mid, wide, and any other fancy angles you want to cover stuff. If it's just one angle and you're going for a more stylistic, natural approach to everything, you can bang it out. Once you've got from there, you can bang it out quite quickly.
Winner. Sweet.
I haven't done a found footage film yet, but I see this is me presuming and listening to special features on found footage films I have seen.
Yes, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll do a found footage film next.
Yes, that's my goal. Sounds good. But the next one coming out is, you just mentioned it as well, UK Haunters, which is, I think, a perfect place to end this sort of episode on, talking about that. Before we do, though, Hell House LLC, I very much highly recommend it. Would you recommend it too, Dan?
Oh, definitely recommend it. Solid film.
Yeah, absolutely 100%. Really good, really enjoyable. I look forward to checking out the other two as well. I'll go into them with an open mind, and we'll do another episode here on Scare Track about those films in the series as well. UK Haunters, Dan, it's time's ticking. We're now nearly in August, and it's still due for September release. It's coming around pretty quick, isn't it?
It is still due for September release. It is coming. I got notes from the company the other day with a couple of sound glitches I need to fix. It just spiked twice, which has been sorted.
Sweet.
That's what happens. You thrash metal a lot as a soundtrack. But yeah, no actual release date as yet, but it is still, they're still aiming for late September. And the fact that they are now sorting the sound out kind of tells me that they are very much
on schedule with it.
On schedule and very up for being on schedule. I suppose, you know, if people can't go to the haunts, they're going to be a lot more likely to watch documentaries about it to try and get some of that haunt buzz going on.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. And that's what we all need. It's,
I'm like a Halloween drug dealer.
Say that again?
I'm like a Halloween drug dealer.
Yeah.
Give some of the good shit, man.
Yeah, get some of the good shit and watch UK Haunters. Yeah, definitely. You need to watch the documentary, guys. Like Dan says, it's going to be coming out in August. In September. So make sure you're following them on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, it's UK Haunters, all one word. And then on Instagram, it is UK Haunters _movie. And again, you can check out Dan's really cool atmosphere phantasms on there as well. Which I need to buy one of these. They look sick.
You do. They're fantastic.
They're
so cool.
Awesome. I can see that now. So, yeah, guys, make sure you're following, liking, and obviously as well, we recently shared the trailer for the new UK Haunters movie on YouTube as well. We shared that on our social media. So go and head over. Make sure you like and share that as well because it's looking freaking awesome. I can't wait for the rest of the world to see it.
Yeah, me too, man.
Gonna be good. Gonna be good. Awesome. Dan, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Scare Track. Yet again, really enjoy talking and chewing the fat with some films. And we'll talk about Hell House LLC 2 in a few weeks.
Sweet. Sounds good, man.
Awesome. Cheers, buddy.
Cool. Catch you later.
You're listening to Scare Track.
So there we go, folks. A huge thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of Scare Track. But of course, a huge thank you to film director Dan Brownlee for coming back onto the Scare Track podcast to talk about another fantastic horror film for this movie review episode. Of course, UK Haunters now only a few months away to its release date this September 2020. Very excited for everyone, including myself, to have that DVD within their collection. It's going to be awesome. I've seen it already. You guys are gonna love it. So that brings us almost to the end of the Scare Trap podcast. A huge thank you to listening, and if you're new to the channel, please do click that subscribe button on any podcast platform that you're currently listening on. We are also on YouTube for our video content, like our scare cams, our coaster trap vlogs, and much more. Just go to youtube.com/scaretrack. You can find absolutely everything Scare Trap related on our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk, whilst we're also on social media platforms such as Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track and join the fun on there. A huge thank you for listening, guys. We sincerely do appreciate it, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, folks.